Today is a one-off sermon, and I've titled today's sermon, Names Have Meanings. And I would like to say a big, hearty good morning and welcome to New Sharon Assembly of God. Here at this church, we're grateful that you chose to join us today. My name is Pastor Mike, and we're interested in genuine relationships. We care about you. We don't care about you necessarily just being in the seat as much as we care about you. We care about your heart. We care about the things going on in your life. So we believe in genuine relationships. We also believe in engaging our community for Jesus. Evidence of yesterday's free garage sale and all the other outreaches that we're doing into our community. So no matter why you're here today, I promise that God has a purpose and He has a word for you. It's no mistake that you walked into these walls this morning. And so if you're here, I hope that you're ready to hear from Him. I hope that your ears are open and ready to receive what the Lord would share. We kind of have an unspoken thing in my family that started with my grandparents. And I don't know how many families do this, but it's something that I like. It's something that we've continued to do. And my boys aren't in here to hear me say this. I hope that they will continue to do it. And it has to do with names. And so my grandpa's name is Howard, okay? I don't know why it didn't start with my great-grandpa, but it started with my grandpa. So my grandpa's name is Howard. And so when my dad was born, they called him David Howard. So my grandpa's first name became my dad's middle name. When I was born, my name became Michael David for my father's name. So when Caleb was born, Caleb's name is Caleb Michael. But then we had Caden. I couldn't give him the same middle name. So being the first time in just a couple of generations where there's more than one boy in the family, I decided that we went with John. And so that starts to carry on that name of the family. And what we're doing here is we're almost creating our own family tree, right? It's kind of a living family tree. We can kind of trace back, and as long as we stick to the first name becoming the child's middle name, we can always kind of trace back to know what the previous generation's first name was. And so it's something that I just think is really cool. And honestly, it brings respect and memories to the family and to the name. So, obviously, when I hear my dad's name, I have a great amount of respect for him. When I hear my grandpa's name, a huge amount of respect for him. I wish it would have gone on to my great-grandpa, because the time that we had with him, I would have to say that my great-grandpa was probably... you know how generations shift? This is side note. I'm sorry. You guys just got to hang with me here, okay? We see it in Scripture that if we don't talk about the Lord and our relationship with the Lord, what happens to the next generation? They don't, right? They don't have relationship with the Lord. My great-grandpa was one that had a relationship with the Lord. And I just, so much respect for him. So much respect for him. And I wish, you know, I wish my grandpa's name was Howard Kenneth, but it's Howard Lyle. But I believe Lyle is an extended family member's name, that they did that as well. Anyways, it creates respect, it creates memories, it's easy to remember what the previous generation's name was, and this is something that I hope the boys do. I hope Caleb's first son is going to be blank Caleb, and Caden's going to be blank Caden. When I was writing this, I started thinking, what names can Caden name a kid that the middle name Caden is going to just sound really good, and I haven't come up with one yet, but it's not for me to worry about. That's for him to figure out. But when I think about my name, and ask yourself this, are you proud of your name? I'm proud to be Michael David Linder, because it's me. It's who I am. It's my identifier. If I was called Laverne, poor guy. Laverne DeBoof, for those who don't know, who just spoke up. But the thing is, right, it that doesn't identify with me because it's not my name. But when I hear a Todd or a Vicky or a Jane or a Terry, I immediately can see that person's face in my mind and I know who that person is, right? Because of how they live, of what they do, what happens, what takes place. I know by a person's name how to identify them. And having a name is just as much as who you are as is your DNA, right? Our DNA defines who we are, but people identify us by not our DNA, but by our name. And so our name is something that is very important to us. Now, I would say when people hear my name, hopefully it's good things, but I have a past life. Who else does? Right? It may not be met with such joyful thoughts. But there's something that happened in between that changes that, right? There's something that completely alters the future of what that name means. And we see the same thing in Scripture. Names have meaning. Names were important, and we often see God taking people and changing their names, not because of what happened, but because what would happen in their lives, the future, the defining moments that were to come. In our Scripture reading today, we're going to read about God changing someone's name. So let me invite you this morning. If you had your Bible and I missed giving you a piece of candy, please, you know, see Arvin if he doesn't have the whole container ate at the end of service. We'll make sure to get you one. It's the cheesiest thing to give people candy when they walk into church with a Bible, but guess how many of you are carrying your Bibles to church now? So I would say that's pretty effective marketing, right? And so the whole idea, and I'll talk about it again, the whole idea of encouraging you guys to bring your Bible is so you get used to opening it when we get to our Bible reading. It makes mental notes. It's kind of a posture that we take when we open our physical Bible before the Lord. And it creates bookmarks in our mind so then we can remember today's service about name changing, name meanings, and we can turn. Now we can just know where we need to open to find that. So what happens when we preach on a sermon about hurt, about pain, about loss, about struggling in our faith? If I can get everybody used to opening their Bible and knowing where to find the Scriptures, then in their time of need, they can open the Bible, fall to that, and let God's Word speak to them in that moment. That's the idea behind giving you chocolate for bringing your Bible to church. And so, let me invite you to open your Bible this morning if you have one with you. If not, hopefully someone next to you has one. Turn it to Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. If you don't know where the book of Genesis is, it's the very first book of the Bible. And you just turn until you see the big 17 on the page. Genesis chapter 17. And if you don't have your Bible and no one next to you has one, don't worry. It's going to be on the overhead. Now, the other thing I need to address, I read from the English Standard Version. Your version might be different. That's okay. You can read it on the overhead if you're struggling to follow along in your Bible. Again, the purpose is to get you used to opening your Bible. Amen? Let's get to our Bible reading this morning. When Abram was 99 years old. Anybody 99 in here this morning? Jerry, put your hand down. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojourings. Sorry, I know I didn't say that right, but my tongue's not working. And all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And so this morning, there's a lot of things that take place in the Scripture. Before we get there, though, I'd like to go to a moment of prayer. So join with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your Scripture this morning, for your words, Lord, and the meaning that they have for us. And even our names today have meaning, Lord. And Father, I pray that as we continue on through the service, Lord, you would be with us and you would put this Scripture on our hearts, Lord. Father, that we would understand that you're the one that changes names. You're the one that gives meaning to names, Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there's a lot in the Scripture. We could go 100 different directions for what we've just read. We could talk about the covenant. We could talk about that Abram was childless, no children yet. How do you become a father of many nations and kings come from you if you don't have a single child? We could talk a lot. But today, I want to focus on God changing Abram's name to Abraham, the significance and the importance of that. Before he was called Abraham, he was called Abram. Abram means exalted father. Okay? Then, God changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. Abraham was still childless when God changed his name to Abraham, okay? Let's do a little backstory here. Little backstory on Abraham. Abram is a descendant of Shem, okay? Shem was a son of Noah. And so this takes place roughly by the genealogy that we see in Scripture. This is about 365 years after the flood, okay? At 75 years old, anybody 75 in here? Nobody. God called Abraham to get up, to leave his country, and to go to a land that I will show you. So Abram packed everything up that he had, and he left at the ripe young age of 75 years old. Fast forward 24 years later to our Scripture today, what we just read. God is again making a covenant with Abram. He promises to make him the father of nations and change his name to Abraham. Part of God's covenant, so we look back at 75 years, part of God's covenant was to go to the land that I will show you, to the promised land. I'm going to give you a land that's ripe, it's yours, and it's always going to be, what does it matter if it's all mine if I have nobody to leave it to? So here we see, listen, here's a little side thing for you. Sometimes you might have to walk 24, 25, 30 years before you get to the promise that God told you. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell us it's instant. Sometimes we have to wait, and it requires us to be faithful and to follow Him at any cost because He promised this. He promised that. The question is, are your desires more important than His promise? Side note, okay? Part of God's covenant was the promised land. So what we see take place in chapter 17, God is renewing that promise that I'm going to take you to this land. This land is yours. Now He adds that many nations and kings would be among His descendants, and that God would be their God. He also promised in that same Scripture, if we were to keep reading, He promised that Sarai, barren, she was barren, meaning she was not having children, would have a son through whom those nations and kings would come as long as Abraham and his descendants stayed faithful to God. They would see all of these promises fulfilled. In Scripture, we see a new relationship with God was often signified by a new name. So when God renews a covenant or the relationship goes deeper, it's renewed, it's refreshed, it's repurposed, we see it oftentimes there is a name change that goes along with it. And what we see take place here in Genesis 7 is God is making these promises again, reconfirming them and saying this will happen. And we also see for the first time in Genesis 17, it's the first time God said that He would be Abraham's God. If you go back and read before, God is saying who I am, who He is, right? I am God Almighty. This is the first time that God says, and I will be your God. So this signifies a new covenant, a new relationship. And in doing that covenant, new relationship, God gave him the name Abraham. And we see later in this chapter that God changes Sarai's name to Sarah, which means princess, because she was to be the mother of the whole multitude of nation that came. If we wanted to continue looking through Scripture, we could go to Abraham's grandson, Jacob, who God renames Israel. Listen, there's a reason God changes names, and it's not for what was, but for what is to come, for things that how they would be moving forward. In fact, what I wrote here is it's just like in marriage. Traditionally, the woman takes the man's last name. So when Alicia and I got married, her last name became Linder, right? It's not Alicia Moses. It's still made a name, but her name, everybody knows her as Alicia Linder. And so when you marry, the woman's name becomes the man's last name from that moment on. It's a new identifier, right? Do you know that God gives us each a new name? He gives us new name when we enter into a relationship with Jesus. Here's a few of the names that He gives us. These are maybe more titles, but they're names until we get to heaven, okay? Here's some of the new names that we get. Christian. Sons or daughters of God Most High. Co-heirs with Christ. But we also have a hope and a promise of a new name in heaven. And that comes from Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. You can write it down. You can read it later. You can turn to it now if you want to read it with me. Revelation 2, 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. When this was written in the Apostle John's time, so he's on the island, he's been thrown out there by himself. This is when God shows him revelations and the end times and what's to come. In John's time, a white rock was used most often in judicial matters. And normally, it carried the not guilty. So when the white rock would go out, not guilty is what it would mean. So in context of this passage, it would represent forgiveness and the state of spiritual innocence for those who overcome their sin, their immoral desires, and their worldly lust. Meaning, when they receive this rock, they are declared faithful to God. For those of us today who are in relationship with Jesus, when we get to heaven, we will have a rock. I don't care about the rock. I care about being in the presence of God. But Scripture tells us that we will get a rock and only we will know the name. God's got a new name for you. The stone, it's for those who step into that next promise, that new covenant. And there comes a time when Jesus comes to take His church home. We all believe that. It's in Scripture. It's very evident. God's going to say, enough is enough. I'm coming back. And those of us who are faithful will be in heaven with Jesus. I would say that that's a new relationship. That's a new point in the relationship. Anybody been to heaven? Right? Okay. So this signifies a new start to a relationship. And it's at that moment that we all receive this new name. And it's because we're in eternity in heaven with God. The stone will bear the God-given name of the carrier. So each one of us will have our own rock, our own name. But here's what it does. It's going to mean that we have a full inheritance with God. It means that we have a new nature in God, and we have full authority in God because we are with God. The name will designate the person as a forgiven servant of Christ and a victorious conqueror. God has purposes for names. He has a purpose for changing names. When we look at Jacob, this was Abraham's grandson. His name literally meant, does anybody know what Jacob's name meant? Deceiver. Jacob's name literally meant deceiver. So when people heard his name, what do you think they thought about? He's a deceiver. I probably shouldn't trade sheep with this man. It's an identifier. And I don't believe that God wanted a father of a nation to start that nation with the name deceiver. Instead, God renamed Jacob and called him Israel, meaning he struggles with God. Where does this come from? When we look, we know that Jacob wrestled with God until God blessed him. What is the significance of that? Here's the significance. It's meaning that we are pursuing God, not passively, but actively. Literally meaning we are wrestling with God. This same way that Jacob wrestled with God is how we need to wrestle with God. It's not like who's going to win, but no, I am actively pursuing you. I'm not just sitting idly by. You told me this 20 years ago, and well, I haven't taken any steps to get myself prepared for it. I'm just waiting for you to open every door, ring every bell, and turn every light green so I can step forward into the promise. Who knows that that's not how it works? Sometimes, like Abram, we have to leave our home and go to where we don't know. And then we have to wait 25 years in a land that's ours, but I have no kids that are going to inherit it before we see the promises of God revealed. So sometimes we have to be prepared. So that means we're actively pursuing God. So when people hear Mike Linder, they may picture this ugly mug, and I hope with good thoughts. It's okay to laugh. Here's the deal. Names carry good, bad, indifferent, weak, strong opinions and reactions. Everybody that you have ever encountered in your life has an opinion or a reaction to your name. It's just true. Has anybody had a bad day and snapped at somebody? That's what they're going to remember, right? They remember that. So the question is what do people think when they hear your name? What does your name mean to others? What do you want your name to mean to others? Because I think that's important. I believe the same thinking is true regarding the church. Our name means something, and it could mean many different things to many different people. And I believe that we have to be purposeful with our names as a church. When we look at our ministries, what we're naming our events. I know, for example, Terry, you struggled with trying to figure out the garage sale name because free doesn't really work because it's not a sale. It's free garage, or garage free would be the correct. But free garage sale just makes it, I think people understand it. But we wrestled with that, didn't we? We have to be purposeful for the names of our church, our ministries, our events, what we do. And sometimes that even means that we have to be willing to change names. Sometimes that means we have to be willing to put the past behind us and step into God's purpose. Would Abraham ever have become Abraham if he would not have stepped forward when God called him out of his father's land? I doubt it. He would have found somebody else to do it. So today I want to announce something that God has challenged me to, and it's to consider changing our name as the church. Now, it would mean changing our name to reflect the vision and the dreams that God has given us for the future that we hold as a church. Now, side note, the board and I agree on this. Before I share the name that I feel like God has led me to, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page here. Most importantly, this name does not change who we are. We are still an Assembly of God church. We are still a full Bible-believing, Pentecostal, Holy Spirit-baptized church. Our legal name will stay Assembly of God New Sharon. What we're looking to do is to change the outward community-facing name only. Also known, if you're a business owner, DBA, Doing Business As. Our name carries a lot of things with it. Our name carries a lot of rich heritage. I only know this heritage because I went through Iowa School of Ministry. Some pretty impactful things came out of this church. The start and the inception of this church. Was anybody here for that? Your parents would have been, though.
Yeah, not me.
Not you, but I noticed you didn't raise your hand for any of the ages. There's strong and rich heritage that goes along with who we are as a church. We have strong mission support, and our church has been a strong sender of missionaries out into the field. And we're a church that is full of faithful believers. And listen, none of that is going to change. We intend to hold on to all of that dearly and continue to do so. However, at the same time, because names mean something, if we are to move forward with changing our name, it would also put some years of stigma, confusion, frustration, holier-than-thou opinions of our church behind us, and it allows us to create a new page, to start a new direction for where we're going. I know everybody has their own story. I know name changes come with strong feelings. One of the things that we joked about, or all the teachers at ISOM joked about, was you make changes slowly, right? And then you move the piano an inch at a time until it's on the other. Nobody talks about the piano being in the middle of the stage. Your people are going to realize that the piano is being moved at some point, right? Now, if I'm only moving it 2 feet, it may not be that noticeable. But if I wanted it over there, you're going to know if I do an inch every Sunday, hey, something's happening here, right? And so I know that there can be strong feelings when there's change in the church. And I know everybody has their own story. Here's my story. I came to this church in October of 2008, and it was family from the moment I walked in. From Irene and Eleanor giving me a hug on my first Sunday here, saying, "We are so glad that you came to church today. We love you, and we're praying for you." First off, I don't know who you are, but you give a great hug like my grandma, and I love it. Secondly, it's where Alicia and I got married. At that point, we still had green carpets. Everybody remember the green carpet? It plastered the whole, it was green. I remember it as green, but maybe it was blue. I don't know. We had pews. Weren't the walls like a dirty yellow? Or was it white that just turned yellow? Huh? A cream color. I remember a little bit of yellow. When we look back on our wedding pictures, we got married in a church. But here's the thing. This is the church that I really committed my life to Jesus. This is the church where my first Sunday here, if you know my story, I was trying to use tithing as a way to prove that God wasn't really... Yeah, my first Sunday here was about tithing, and so... Listen, I'm all in at this point. This is where I started trusting God in tithing. It's where we got married. It's where both of our kids were born. It's where we have grown as a family. It's where we have grown to love and to appreciate everybody that's here. And I know every single one of you, you could come up here and you could tell your own story. You could talk about the good, bad, and the ugly that goes with it. But I would venture to guess at the end of it, because you're sitting here today, you would say, "I love this church. I love this church." And this church will always hold that special place in my heart. Listen, this is always going to be New Sharon Assembly of God. Like, this is my church, this is my home. It's always going to hold that place. But here's also what it's going to do. It's going to continue to build upon those memories and moments in your life, but it's also going to start memories for new families coming in. For those who maybe the name Assembly, or maybe just New Sharon Assembly, or this person goes there. Listen, I don't want stigma. I want people coming to the throne of Christ saying, I need you. That's it. And if a name's keeping them from coming, get rid of the name. Just call us church. Come to church. Come hear about Jesus. But our mission statement is this. It's engaging our community for Jesus. With that, the name that God has put on my heart, I am excited to present. Engage Church. Now, Engage Church fits perfectly with our mission and our purpose of the church that God has given us. We have a team of, 12, 14, I think that we have 14 that when we first became pastors here, we sat down and we started talking about the direction we felt like the Lord was taking us in. There's a purpose for our shirts that say, come as you are, because we want you to come as you are. You want to wear your pajamas to church? Guess what? Wear your pajamas to church. You want to wear a ball cap to church? Wear a ball cap to church. Now, would I? No. But if that's what it takes for you to experience Jesus, to be willing and comfortable to walk in, then please come as you are. We mean it. We don't just say it. It's not a catchy slogan. We mean it. Come as you are. If it means coming in dirty without a shower, come as you are. If it means that God's calling you out of a deep, dark addiction, that you're drunk, you're high, you're whatever, and coming up here to this altar is where you get set free, oh, you better believe. Come as you are. Come as you are. And so when we sat down and started talking about this, we went to Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. But before they can come, we have to go and tell. Which is why we arrived to engaging our community for Jesus, for our mission statement. And here's what the name Engage would do. It simplifies our ministry names. It would simplify, we wouldn't have Kingdom Kids. It would be Engage Kids. We wouldn't have CCC or it would be Engage Outreach. Women's group would no longer be Wings. It would be Engage Women. When we get around to having a men's group, it's Engage Men's. When we get to the point of having a youth group, it's Engage Youth. These are all things that we want to do as a church. And so on May 7th, everybody can mark this on your calendar. This is a very important announcement I'm making right now. On May 7th, immediately following service, we have a special business meeting to vote on the name change of the church. Now, the board and I are not interested in plowing forward with this. Technically, by our bylaws, we could just unilaterally do this, correct? We don't want to. We want you guys, we want our members to have a say in this. And we want you to share your concerns. We want you to ask questions. And the board and I want to hear, and we want to answer those before the business meeting. So don't be afraid to come talk to us. Let's talk about it. And changing the church name is not my decision. It's not the board's. It's the members. It's your decision to make. And so that meeting will be a very straightforward meeting. It'll be a yay or a nay vote. If yay, we will start updating our doing business as name, updating our church sign. Who knows if that sign used to be red? I thought it was purple since 2008 when I first came. It was red and it's faded to purple. The cross, it hangs sideways. Listen, it's just time to do some freshening. It's time to do some spring cleaning, if you will. And so we would need to change the church sign. We would need to change our web address and our logo, as you see behind you here. And then we would need to start our rebranding efforts with an official launch of the new name scheduled for August. We would try to coordinate it with like a back-to-school bash where we make a big deal about it. We invite people to come in. We're celebrating a new name. Or, if nay, we stay New Sharon Assembly of God and we continue carrying out our mission every day of this church, reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. Because, after all, our mission statement is engaging our community for Jesus. So as we close out our service today, I want to make sure that we all have a chance to consider our own name. So if you would, I would ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I just have a few questions. Are you called a Christian? Are you called a son or a daughter of God? Are you called a co-heir with Christ? I would also ask, are you a follower and a believer in Christ Jesus? And if you can't answer yes to those questions, I want you to hear this. Jesus longs for a relationship with you. He wants you to come to Him, and He wants you to give your life to Him as both Lord and Savior of your life. So this morning, whether it's in a brand new way or it's a fresh way, today you can step into that relationship and receive your new name in Christ. If that's you, would you raise your hand this morning? Amen. Amen. And if you need to today, I'd like everybody to hear this as well. I want to pray with you. If you have a need in here today, if you have a physical or what something, you need somebody to be prayed for in your family, listen, I want to pray. I want to lift you up in prayer. I want to lift your family up in prayer. So as the worship team closes us out in a song this morning, if you have nothing, great. You can still come up and worship God. You can worship God where you're at. But if you have a prayer need, I would just ask that you would come to the front, maybe to the right, your left of the stage here, so I can pray with you. Because I want to encourage us in prayer and just to look to God for all things. Amen? Amen.